Welcome to another episode of From the Bookshelves. I'm your host, Divya Shekhar. On today's episode, we have a young man who calls himself a digital nomad and a climate optimist. He wants to put his skills to good use across online and offline mediums to create more awareness among people about climate change. He has over 45,000 followers on Instagram, leads a minimalist lifestyle, runs his own NGO, and has now written a book. In fact, royalties from his book will be donated to his charity, which is called Greener Earth Foundation. Akash Ranisan says he has written this book because climate change is often talked about in technical terms like carbon neutral, net zero, climate emergency, etc., which many a times leaves lay people like you and me wondering if we'll ever be able to contribute at a personal and individual level to make a difference. There are policy level discussions and sustainability goals, yes, but how do we as individuals play a role in climate conversations? Akash's book tries to answer this question. He takes stock of industries like mobility, food, beauty, textiles, and tourism, and ties it down to everyday actionable things that you can follow in daily life. He also has a game plan for corporates to be more responsible and follow sustainable practices. Welcome to the show, Akash.
Thank you, Nika. Thank you so much for calling me on board. I'm super happy to be here with you.
So, Akash, why did you think you were qualified to write a book about climate change, covering a wide spectrum of topics that too? And if you had to reflect on your work in this space and the impact that you've created, how would you sum that up?
So, for me, in a short sentence, I'm just a passionate guy. I get passionate about different things and I do them. So, I've been traveling around the globe for 10 years. While traveling, I realized that I'm not traveling for food, architecture, or anything else. I'm traveling for nature. And I realized that I really love nature. And now, if you love anything, you try to protect it, right? That's when I realized that, hey, I want to protect environment. And I started putting whatever skills I have towards protecting it. Later on, I realized, oh, climate change is a thing. And I started reading more and more about it. It's been about 8 years now that I've been reading climate change, studying on it. I do different courses from different universities, time to time, or institutions, right? And then I understood this one thing, that what is my skill set? My skill set is communication. I can communicate things to people in a very simpler way, in an artistic way. That's when I started making art installations to communicate the message of nature, or sometimes write books, sometimes write articles, or sometimes do short form content or a documentary or different things. Similarly, on this journey, I came to a place where I felt that, okay, can I compile one really good book together, which offers solution to people? Like, for example, as of now, what's happening, if I really want to live a sustainable life, the only way I have is to go to internet and search for different articles, read through those articles, and I don't know who has written this article, and each and every article is written by some other person, some other platform. So there's no sync, or there's not one document, and also that there's nothing about India. Majorly when I go and search things on sustainability or climate change, I'll find content coming from the West, which is majorly US, UK, or some European country, right? And those solutions do not really apply to us in India, because we have a very different life, right? Southeast global is very different as compared to the other regions around. And that's when I thought that, and also that we know that finding right data in India, it's really a fight. We don't have such sort of organization, associations, boards in India, which are really focusing on collecting the right data, right? And again, administration, I somewhere don't want to go against them as well, but again, a lot of data is being hidden from us. So hence I thought that what I want to do is, I want to write one book just focused on India, no other place. Like, I don't want to go global. I know climate change is a global issue, but I don't want to talk about the globe. I want to solve the problem locally here. So my this base knowledge, then the knowledge which I've gained out of studying, reading, I compile together, then I bring industry experts. Each chapter has 5 industry experts who reconfirm whatever I'm saying, right? People who have, let's say, who have been running businesses around, I've sent specific chapters. Let's say there's a business which is running in the specific industry of beauty. This chapter has gone to that specific person running that business for over a decade. They have read the chapter. They have given me their inputs as well, that, hey, we can make these changes. We can fix these things and it can be even better. That's how I've got it together. that, hey, it's just not me. Because again, I understand people can say that, hey, how is this one guy of 28 years old who has not even gone to a university or college, he was failing in school, and how suddenly he writes such a thick book covering 8, 9, 10 different industries, and he has knowledge of everything, not even one. Suddenly, he hold up. My work is speaking strong. When I have people backing me up, these people are like really top-notch people in the country.
So I want to point out to listeners that, some of the people who Akash has quoted in his book include Zerodha co-founder Nitin Kamath, Alchem India managing director Sandeep Singh, you have advertising mogul Piyush Pandey, Tanya Narendra, who is also a doctor and a content creator. So there are a host of diverse voices in the book as well. In fact, before I read this book, I gave it to my mother, who got very interested looking at the cover, and she said she wanted to read it. And her feedback after reading the book was that, you know, many of the things mentioned here are the way in which we lived our life, the things that we did in our day-to-day life, but over the past few decades, many of those day-to-day sustainable practices have been forgotten. Maybe it's because of technological advancements or consumerism or more spending capacities, etc. What be it? But she said that, you know, that's the way we lived, and you know, that's why I can resonate with this book. So can you sort of reflect on that? Like, what are some of these practices that, you know, we have been following, or our parents or the generation before that has been following, that our generation has perhaps forgotten and could adopt in our day-to-day lives?
So let's say two very basic things, which is part of our day-to-day life. First is, let's say, talk about food in short. So we would make whatever food we are making. Let's say if we make rice and chapatis, we couldn't finish it tonight. This is another day. Now we feel that these rice are not really edible, right? Because they are pretty dry. My nani would fry it up, put some turmeric into it, some more masala, a little salt, and sugar into it, make it a little more flavorful, and then we can just eat it quick, right? It will be gone. Rather than wasting it, rather than throwing it off, we consume it, right? Even with chapati, we know that, okay, now it's dry. Even if you try to let warm it up, it wouldn't be really that soft. So we'll just crush it and make it sort of like in pieces, small pieces. I don't know what we call it. In Hindi, I think we call it murmur or kurmure or something like that thing. And then again, fry it up with a little bit of oil, some masalas, and make it more flavorful. And quickly with some basic dal, you can eat it, right? So you're not throwing it away. It's food. It has changed the texture of it. It's not that soft. It's not really unhealthy for your body. It's not really waste. So one is this. Rather than in today's time, what we do is we call from places online, right? We place an order. Whatever comes, comes. We eat whatever we want to eat. Rather than anything, we just pack the packet again and just throw it off. We don't really care about it. What's inside? What are we throwing off? And again, every year globally, we are producing food for at least 13 billion people, right? We are 8 billion people in the globe. Still, 1 billion people are sleeping hungry. Why? Big causes includes, one is food waste, another one is animal agriculture, right? So one is this option. Second example, textile. We had different sets of clothes. Like if you're living inside home, there's a different set of clothes. Still people have it, but things are changing. Different set of clothes which you wear inside home, different set of clothes which you wear to work, different set of clothes which you wear when you're going for a function. But now, every day is a function. Going to office is a function. We have so many creators on Instagram who are making this, I think it's called OOTD, Outfit,
yeah.
Of the Day.
Outfit, right? Of the Day.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. It's a thing. Like, why there's a thing called outfit of the day? It's like of the day. Aaj ke din ka kapda. Right? It just put today. So that's a thing. That, okay, it's not that I'm going to a reception, a function, or a big thing, or receiving an award. That's why I'm wearing these clothes. No, I'm going to the office and I'm wearing this thing. And now we build a challenge for everyone. Like, make more money, buy more clothes, buy a new watch, buy a new phone, buy a new laptop, buy a new car, buy a new bike, get a new home. Everything has to look new, newer. You have iPhone 13, I have 14. Oh, you have 14. I'm just waiting. I've already booked the 15, bro. Already, it's coming in September. I've already paid the money in advance. The dealer knows me. So you see the kind of challenge or competition we are living in. And we don't know who created it. Normally, but it's a hidden thing. Corporate created it. In order to run the business, they need to make us buy the product. Right? We won't buy it out of need. I have a phone which I've been running for 3 years now. My need is a phone. I'm using my phone. I'm on this video call with you in this time. My laptop is 7 to 8 years old. Right? But then the point is that if I really get into the fight of whether I have the best or newest phone or not, then I'm very much lagging behind and I need to go buy a new phone, new iPhone and laptop and everything.
Right. You know, in fact, talking about OOTDs and social media and trends, etc., there is an interesting section of your book in this chapter called Tech and Digital, where you actually talk about the carbon impact of various various social media platforms. Like you say that, okay, I'm just going to quickly go through the grades and you can tell us, our listeners, what they mean. So you say Facebook and Instagram is A grade, LinkedIn B grade, Pinterest, Twitter, and Reddit is F grade. So what does the carbon impact of social media mean?
Okay, so everything we do in our life is connected to environment and has something to do some or the other way with carbon. Everything runs on carbon. Energy comes from carbon as of today, like whatever we fossil fuels we use comes from, like, it needs carbon. Let's say I want to watch a documentary on XYZ platform, or I want to surf some content on XYZ social media platform. Where is this data stored? Right? This data is at least stored in minimum 3 to 4 or 5 servers around the globe, because all of these services are global. When I'm scrolling through a social media platform and watching videos, I do not know which is the next video, right? And a lot of time we are watching videos which are surely not from India. Like, I'm living in India, so I'm talking about not from India. This video can be from my neighboring country, Bhutan or Bangladesh, or this can be from furthest country, let's say somewhere from London, Russia, or somebody who shot it in Antarctica and then uploaded it, right? So in order to make this data accessible and quickly accessible for all the users around the globe, companies have several different servers around the globe storing the data, right? Even let's say when you're making a website, right? I do have a website. Now when I go to set up a server, my company from which I'm buying the hosting gives me an option. Which server do you want to choose, right? So you want to choose the North America server or some other locations. So you should choose the server which is closest to my country, right? So then the data is quickly accessible. Now, where are these servers exactly? These are like real ground, on-ground thing, right? These are actual warehouses where they have, or storerooms where they have these servers, and they are being powered by energy, right? Where is this energy coming from? And not only the energy which is running these servers, but also these servers get heated up very quickly. So we need a lot of ACs around to keep them cool, right? How are we powering these cooling system? Everything runs on energy. And then now whenever I'm surfing the internet, I'm calling the data, and so many people are calling the data. And to run these servers, so much energy is consumed. Similarly, here, the place where I sit, it's not really that big, but let's say, again, individually, it's not that big, but if we really calculate it all together, it's huge. The consumption of energy, the devices which we use, how do they make it? There's so much mining happening to, let's say, bring all the required material together to complete one system like a phone or a laptop or anything which we use today. And where does the wastage of these things go, the e-waste, right? So if you look at the whole system from the start to the end, it's filled with energy consumption in different ways. And here in simple way, I'm talking about it, even when you're watching content online, there's an impact of it on environment because we are running energy systems around the globe to power up these servers and they emit emission. One of the easiest way or one of the best way to keep them sustainable or to cut down on the carbon emission is if we can have the servers powered by renewable energy, right? Windmill energy, or let's say from nuclear energy, or from solar energy.
Right. So it seems like at the core of all of this is the fact that companies need to do better. Companies need to be more responsible. So what do companies in India specifically need to do? And are there examples of companies who are setting the tone for how to be more sustainable and climate conscious in their approach?
So what do companies need to do? It's pretty simple. All you got to do is just start focusing on where is this carbon emission coming from? What all are you doing? Where you're consuming energy? Where are you consuming energy? Or where are your consumptions coming from? Look at the consumptions you're doing. Energy consumption or any sort of product you're consuming, material you're consuming in your factory, and what are the waste you're creating? Right? These three things. First, wherever the energy is coming from, is it renewable or not? If not, can you set up your own energy source, which is, let's say, solar panels at you at the rooftop of your setup wherever you have it? That's one of the easiest and quickest way to cut down on carbon emission. Second, whatever thing you produce, let's say, for example, you're a company. I have this thing right here. I have this TV remote right next to me, right? If you're a manufacturer of this thing, where do you source your plastic from? Where do you source your rubber in this remote from? What other materials are required? Where are you sourcing it from? For sure, plastic, you can make it recyclable. You can bring the recycled plastic. You can use that. That's easily doable. This remote do not have anything which I consume, right? So I can easily make it recyclable. It's not edible product. I don't have to worry about it. Then another rubber, I can easily use the recycled rubber. Then whatever materials are inside, and also I can focus on the quality of it, that it won't break down in like 1 year, 2 years, or 6 months, which usually company tries to make in a way that if it breaks down, then only customers will buy a new product. Can we have better quality, keeping earth or nature in center rather than profit, right? So it lasts long. And I think these are the major things they can do. And last and best is if they really, really care about it, they can become part of projects where they can fund organizations to offset their carbon emission. That, hey, we tried our best. We used renewable energy. Then we used materials which are the best in class when it comes to environment. We are making sure that we keep our carbon footprint lowest as possible. Still, we have some emissions. I want to reach out to one of the organizations which is trying to work to offset carbon emission or methane. Let me help them do their work properly so that they can offset more carbon. I think that's how they can really work it out.
Right. So there's one thing about companies having the intent to be more climate conscious. And the other part of the story is, do they have the right infrastructure to enable them, and do they have a policy that makes them accountable to do so? What do you think about infrastructure and policy level accountability in India?
See, infrastructure, I totally understand. Like the biggest company in India, obviously they can afford it and they must do it. Even if they do not already have it in place, they have the resources. They have been making so much money out of this country, out of the resources from this country, and out of the people of this country. It's their liability, I say, or duty, I say, or responsibility, I say, whichever way we put it, they have to do it for us. They have to do it for the people of the country, for the nature, and for the country, and for everyone, and for everyone around the globe, right? They have made money out of us. They have exploited people or nature, right? They must do it. They have the money. They have to let go of the money to save the world. If we live today, will make more money tomorrow, right? So first is this, but I know all the companies do not come with that sort of a budget. They do not make that much money. And I understand, and I want to be supportive to those smaller brands which are not really making that much money, but they do have a mission. My request to them is to be mindful, right? Because eventually you can't really rely on the rich that, okay, they'll just do it everything. And meanwhile, you are still in meeting. If we are expecting, we have to contribute as well. We all have to play along, right? If I'm not talking in terms of, let's say I'm going to put 10 rupees or you also put 10 rupees versus you are making lakhs and lakhs of rupees and I'm making 10 rupees itself. So for me, it's 100% of my revenue, and for you, it's just like peanuts, right? So what I'm saying is everybody has to come equally together. That, hey, if you're making 1 lakh rupee, you should be contributing 1,000 or 10,000 rupees versus I'm making 100 rupees. I'll do my 1 or 2 rupees or 10 rupee thing, right? So everybody needs to be on the same page, and then only we'll be able to do it. Otherwise, if we get on to the richest of the country on their head that, hey, you should do it, then they have come back to us that, hey, we don't own it, right? We don't own to fix the world. So everybody should come together in their capacity, whatever they can do.
So one last thing, Akash, before I let you go, is that, you know, you've been using social media to create more awareness about climate. You call yourself a digital nomad. I also see a lot of youngsters using Instagram or using other social media platforms to create awareness in their own way about sustainable practices, what we can do in day-to-day life, etc. What do you think is happening in India when it comes to using or leveraging social media to create awareness about climate change or to create awareness about climate conscious habits? What do you think the impact of it is?
So for the longest of the time, I was really disappointed with social media because most of the people who were there, they were self-proclaimed teachers of sustainability. Their whole knowledge was really limited to not using single-use plastic or using a bamboo toothbrush or that's it, or eating at home, right? So the whole fight was just around plastic. And it was really like misinforming people. Most of the people who were watching this content were really believing that, okay, if we just do not use plastic, we'll be able to fix climate change. But I'm like, no. Plastic is not climate change. It's like it's part of the whole game, but it's a very tiny thing. In last about 1 year-ish time, I've been seeing people who really study sustainability, environment, climate change in universities, who have proper education or who haven't like even studied in an academic system, but they gained it properly. Like they studied good things. Now they are on social media and utilizing these platforms to communicate or put forth the actual thing when it comes to climate change globally, nationally, or personally, that how what you can do personally, but also making people aware about what is happening in terms of climate change globally. What is the real problem? In last few months, I found really good creators and I'm really happy with them. So now I see some positive light coming up, and I think with time, automatically the people who were misinforming or who were like halfly baked content, I think that will go out of space.
Thank you for your time, Akash. This was a lovely conversation.
Thank you so much.
And to all our listeners, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'm Divya Shekhar. See you next time.